Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome back to BS Talk, episode 126, I believe. I don't know, and I'll tell you why I don't know. Irv is taking the week off because we give vacations here. They are non-paid because nobody is paid on the show, unfortunately, yet. But hopefully we'll get there one day. But we got a great replacement for him today. Our co-host today is Chris Vine. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Cameron. How are you doing?
Doing well. Chris has been on the show, once
before, and then I think I'll be on later for the Premier League thing too.
Yeah, we talked about that. That will be part two of today's show. Is all about EPL, which is a English Premier League. It is for American soccer, but for everybody else, rest of the world, it's called football. Really enjoyed that segment today. We will get that better chemistry, better, more familiar with one another. So today, bear with us as we are trying to start that new kind of EPL show going on part two, as I try to take more interest into what I like to call soccer. But with that being said, we're just keeping with American sports now. We're talking about football. Chris, I know we're going to talk the NFL. Have you watched any college football at all?
Well, I got caught on to that Colorado Buffaloes hype, like everyone else in the nation. And then when they started losing, I of course stopped watching immediately.
I love that about you, Chris. It's like when a team is winning, Chris will watch them.
Oh, I'm a hardcore bandwagoner. I'm embracing the American way of sports, of bandwagoning everything I see.
So, did you watch last game between Colorado and Stanford?
No, because they had already lost two games before that. So my interest in them is not at zero. So I'll probably not watch college football again until the last game of the season.
And that's fair. With that being said, we'll just stick to the NFL then, because I know you watch NFL because you have fantasy football teams. You're probably like in seven or eight leagues now, for all I know.
just two, man. Babies take up too much time.
That is right. Kids do take up a lot of the time, but Chris is really dedicated to fantasy football. He's one that is not afraid to make trades and try, whether it benefit him or not benefit him. I've seen some weird trades he's done. But I mean, if anything does, what Chris does is like, he always is somewhere in the middle or on top. I've never seen him finish down below. So I give you props for that one. Right now I'm in the fantasy football league we have, Chris. I'm doing well, but the other two, I am like bottom tier. And this is a new experience for me trying to figure out, okay, how do I work the waiver wire? But I might need some advice on how to trade some players, because that's a new one for me.
The injury bug has hit almost everyone this season. It's been a rough year for injuries.
How do you not get attached to the players that you drafted? Like, or not attached to a player? Like, how do you know? For instance, I'm like, oh, this player's going to turn around. There's no way they're going to keep this bad. They're going to turn around. Let me go trade that. Or not. Let me just hold on. I'm thinking they're going to turn their season around and I can get points. You just go, no, they're not going to turn around. I don't have a connection with them. Goodbye.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have a connection with players who do good. But like, if they're not doing good, like I always try and like, before I drop like a player who I drafted who I thought was going to be good, I try to actually watch a game. And if they look like horse garbage, I just like, you can just tell like a play. Like Drake London's a really good example. So I got him on one team. That kid is a superstar. His quarterback is trash, but that kid is a superstar. And you got to think, the law of averages, no matter how bad his quarterback is, just like Nuke Hopkins before him, you know, wide receivers can always normally generate some offense despite how bad their quarterback is. So like, you know, it was only a matter of time before they started giving the ball to their most talented, if not second most talented player.
Thank you for coughing in the microphone. We'll try to move you down later.
Something for Irv to edit later.
Well, that's for me to edit. I will have to edit that later.
Double time.
I might leave it in now that we're talking about it. So,
are you telling me that you don't want coughing and sneezing and burping on your
phone? Well, we try to mute the button. I mean, every now and then it gets in, but that's okay. It's your second show, and I asked you to be on here, so I should have expected that.
COVID is over, man. It's not. No disinformation in this, you know, mysterious kid show.
NFC South, you mentioned the Atlanta Falcons, who their quarterback is the one that's kind of the question mark there. They have, like you mentioned, Drake London, who is a star wide receiver. They also have Kyle Pitts, who is also a star tight end, and their running back, Bijan Robinson, is just spectacular.
Do you think Kyle Pitts is a star tight end?
I think if you put him on the correct team, yes. There.
I feel like I've watched a lot of plays this year where he just kind of doesn't get the separation that he might have got the first year.
Well, that's what you see. I see something else. I see a star player that's just not being used correctly. Because they are a run first team because of,
Why
I think.
wouldn't you? You got like Bijan Robinson is a monster, dude. He is
Well,
so good.
they also use Tyler a lot, but when you draft, the problem is if you're going to be a run first team, then you shouldn't be drafting a top wide receiver, top tight end. That, like, if you're going to draft a tight end, you want to draft more of a blocking tight end then.
Well, isn't
But
that what Jonnu Smith is meant to be?
and that's what he's meant to be, but he's been going out after this block scheme receptions because was it Ridley? No, Riddler. My goodness, I'm drawing a blank on the quarterback's name.
Ritter. Desmond
Ridder.
Ritter.
Yeah, thank you. Desmond Ridder. That's been his dump down kind of receiver right now. Mac Hollins has also been the deep threat over there. But speaking of Atlanta Falcons, is probably the most coverage they're gonna get outside of the state of Atlanta. If they had a decent QB, they do have the Green Lizard behind him, Taylor Heineke. Would you eventually pull the plug on Ritter and bring in Heineke? Because you've seen Heineke perform in Washington. Are you going to give him that opportunity?
Not only would I have pulled the plug this season, I would have pulled the plug last season. That dude is not good at football.
Not.
Don't know how they see players like Jameis Winston and Heinicke and all these kind of perennial kind of almost starting backup players and don't think that's a better option than Ritter. Ritter is not it. And I think Atlanta is in that awkward position where they've got a good enough team to not be at the bottom, but their quarterback is preventing them from being useful. So it's just kind of going to be one of those middling seasons for Atlanta. But I think Heineke's a solid player. I don't think he's the answer either, but I think he's more of an answer than Ritter.
I mean, Ritter didn't look. I understand what you're saying. He's not reliable, but he's not complete garbage. Or do you think he's just complete garbage?
I think
Because
he's complete garbage.
really, because the game versus Texas, where I saw him play, it wasn't too bad. I
Yeah.
mean, they won the game. It wasn't too bad, but it's not somebody I feel like you can rely on going into the future. I think that it might be
Well,
fun.
a broken clock is still right twice a day.
I thank you, Chris, for that metaphor. I can't.
Why are we spending so much time on
Well,
the
I'm just gonna go through it. We
They're
can
so
move on
bad.
with the NFC South, because the
Boring team
right,
in the NFL.
well, that whole division is right there for the taking. I mean,
That's
it's
true.
probably the worst division there
It's
is.
a division right there for the taking, and then they lose in the first round of the playoffs. So.
Absolutely, 100%. They'll probably lose in the first round of the playoffs, but even Baker has the Bucks looking really good and turned that team around, which I never thought would be possible. I thought they had the receivers. I thought they would have traded Mike Evans already. I thought he would have been gone.
Yeah, I think the Bucks are the team to watch from that conference if anyone could do anything. I think Baker kind of got an unfair shake in Cleveland. They replaced him with a serial sexual abuser, and then they put him down to Carolina. And I don't think he ever fully recovered from his shoulder injuries. I think he got some time on the offseason to get healthy. I think Baker looks good. I don't think he's got the connection quite there yet with Chris Godwin. But I think Baker's a decent quarterback. I think that Buccaneers team is a really, really solid team offensively and defensively. I think if any team's going to surprise people this year, I think it's going to be the Bucs.
They have surprised me this far. I thought they were not going to be that talented. I thought after 4 or 5 games they were going to be 0-4 or 1-4. I thought for sure they're going to be trading Mike Evans and Chris Godwin to other teams to get assets back, and Baker would have been benched by now, but they have
That wouldn't have
surprised me.
surprised me because, after all, the Buccaneers are owned by a pair of absolute rats.
Yeah,
So,
which you will later mention in the
well, I
show
may
why.
later reference that, and in regards to the soccer team that they also own.
And that's fair. The Saints over there, the New Orleans Saints.
I thought they
Disappointing.
had it on Thursday, man. I thought they were close to having
I would
it.
say disappointing though. Disappointing. Like I really expected Derek Carr to. I'm not putting the blame on Derek Carr, but I for some reason in my head, I thought he was going to be better than he actually is doing.
Yeah, I did too. I think Derek Carr is, I think another guy who gets kind of a historically has gotten a bad rap for being pretty decent. Saints are such a weird team because they've got all the pieces, but a couple of those Jags drives on Thursday, man, they made it look like it was a practice scrimmage. Like, it did not look difficult at all to move the ball down the field. But then
Yeah.
again, the Saints were in it right at the end. It was a drop pass by Moreau, and I think they're an interesting team too, but there's something not working right now with Derek Carr. Maybe it's just some unfamiliarity. Anyway.
Yeah, they got Alvin Kamara back. He's back for the second game. He looked good as well. Hopefully they can get their stuff together. I do have them winning the division overall, just because I thought, it should be an easy division, with two, well, not two, but with a rookie quarterback at in the Panthers, which we haven't touched on yet, 0-6, and then with the Buccaneers not knowing with Baker, and then also the Falcons with the Ritter, I thought for sure Carr, Saints head of division. There's no, they always had a decent defense. There's no way they lose this, but Bucks have given a run and Falcons are too, so. The last team I want to talk about in this division real quick is Panthers. Bryce Young, he's going out there. The only thing I could say good about the Panthers right now is he is young. Hopefully, he can turn around. I don't think he is. I think he's too small and he just doesn't look comfortable back there. But man, Adam Thielen, for some reason on every sports betting app right now, he's always like 58 yards or 59 yards, and like they're averaging for him. And I always take the over because he has every single week. Has hit the over for that. It's like the one of the most consistent things. And now I say this, he probably won't hit it next week. I know they have a bye this week, I believe. But yeah, he's just, it's been incredible, the season he's had, and because they have to throw because they're down. So.
I think this is kind of just going to be a one of those seasons for the Panthers where I think Bryce Young, I think the talent is obviously there. I think Bryce Young is a potential answer. The coaching isn't, it isn't going to be Frank Reich next year. I just don't think they have, like, the one thing that makes good coaching is good players. And I just think the Panthers are devoid of good players. If Adam Thielen's your number one wide receiver, I think that speaks more to your organization than it does to Adam Thielen. Who, by the way, is a phenomenal route runner and a great W wide receiver two option. But if he's your number one wide receiver, I think that speaks volumes as to how devoid of talent you are.
Yeah, and that's fair. But just take the over on Thielen getting 59 yards at least,
For
because they're
sure.
gonna, they're always going to be throwing. Let's move to the NFC West. Oh, we have Niners, Seahawks, Rams, Cardinals. We knew Niners were going to be on top just based on their defense and their offense. We didn't know what Brock Purdy is going to look like, but we knew that they're going to be on top because of the coaching and, like you talked about in part two, organization from head to toe, like top notch. This is what you want your team to look like. Seattle's holding in there. I thought Seattle would look a little better, bit better. When I watch them, it looks like Geno's taking a step back again. But they're hanging around there. Surprising team, Los Angeles Rams. Did not have them being this good. Puka came out of nowhere. But how many times has Matt Stafford have? He always has one great receiver in there. All the other ones are mediocre, and he always makes them look good somehow.
Matt Stafford is such a complete nutter stud. He
Yeah.
is just last season. Matt Stafford was super. Matthew
Injured.
Stafford was injured, so like I think that was an unfair to ju season to judge him. But by and I think the season before that, they were obviously really, really good. So like, the Rams are not so much surprising to me as I think it was more surprising as to how quickly everyone was writing them off because I think they obviously had the talent there, or they felt they had the talent there, and now they got Matthew Stafford back invested and healthy. I think people underrate just how much of a difference Matthew Stafford can make to a footballing franchise.
I got to give it the coach props as well, just because it's one of those where the defense, they gave up a lot of like draft picks for the defense to bring the dude, such as Jalen Ramsey, bringing him over. They brought over the middle linebacker for the Seattle Seahawks. I forget his name, but always a stud at middle linebacker. But they bring these guys over, give up a lot of picks for them, or just give them a lot of money. And their defense, besides Aaron Donald, they were starting basically over. Like, these are all youngsters. People we didn't know. ESPN had them rated like the last in defense before they played a game, even just because their power rankings are like, this is one of the worst defenses besides Aaron Donald. And it's come out and it's outperformed everybody's expectations. And I think it's kept them, it's done enough where it's kept them in games. It's kept them going. And they're not, they're.
It's like a middle of the road defense. I think a middle
Yeah.
of the road defense with an elite offense can do work. The 49ers, going back to the 49ers real quick, they're a really interesting team because after this year, what are they gonna do? They have so much money tied up in that cap, but they're going to have to like put a bomb on their entire team next. I don't know what they're gonna do next year. If they're able to be competitive next year, I think that's gonna be one of the greatest GM operations of all time. Like I don't know if you've looked into their cap situation next year. It is beyond,
Atrocious.
it's beyond bleak. I don't know what they're gonna have to get rid of like half their studs.
Yeah, I don't know what
And
they're
they've
gonna
got a,
do, but
and
they're all in this series.
their star quarterback isn't even making $1 million this year.
Yeah.
So
Well, I've been saying it for episodes and episodes before this, and I'll say it again. Tom Brady the second will just be just fine. I want him to stick with the Niners just because of the coach, but if they if he has to go, if Tom Brady too has to go somewhere else, so be it. And you can't tell me, I mean, Brock, P it's BP, baby.
hey, you don't have to tell me twice about getting on a hype train that doesn't make sense.
Exactly. And then the Cardinals, Cardinals are in last division, which I think everybody expected, but they hold their own. They don't they it's not an easy team that you think you're just going to walk in there and beat. They hold their own. It's actually a challenging team. Josh Dobbs has done a great job. I think Josh Dobbs would be a great backup quarterback anywhere else. I don't think he's a starter in this league, but he's a great number two somewhere.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what they're like when Kyler returns. I think he's
Yes.
due to return pretty soon. But you can play tough, but if you're not good enough, you're not good enough. I don't think they're good enough. They're 1-5 for a reason.
And Kyler is playing for a job at this point.
Yeah.
Like, hands down, playing for a job, because if he doesn't do well, they might use that number one pick if they get the number one pick or number two pick for on a quarterback.
Isn't
And
he
we've seen.
like juiced? Isn't he got some guaranteed money still left though? Like I don't know how you're gonna get rid of him with that kind of money attached to him though.
NFL does some weird things anyhow. They always kind of release players. We've seen him release players that you're like, what? That doesn't make sense, but they do it and they just,
Then you keep players like Deshaun Watson. It's bananas.
Well, we're gonna go to the North NFC North. Lions, Packers, Vikings, and Bears. Lions, I think they're gonna be the runaway in this division. Defense pretty solid, offense pretty solid. Campbell, I don't know why he was on the hot seat last year at all, because this team,
Morons.
yeah, yes.
That dude, you could tell he just talk about a culture change at a organization. That team, even when they're not winning, like that's a team that actually plays tough every single time. It's an old trope in football playing tough, but they really play tough. And when you got a really good offensive team, really good defensive team that plays tough, they're going to be really hard to beat this year if they can stay healthy. David Montgomery's has gone out for a little bit, and Jahmyr Gibbs has been a little banged up. But if they can get their run game going to match everything else that they're doing well, they're going to be a
And that's the interesting thing, what you mentioned is like their run game, it's been really good. It's just they have banged up running backs too. So imagine when they're, I'm not, I don't, it's during the season, but if they can get healthy somehow and return not to 100%, but better, their run game will be phenomenal as well. As a Bears fan, I've been cheering for the Lions, and that's kind of awkward because at the same time, I'm a Bears. I'm like, they're the same division, but. There's something about a Detroit Lions team getting to the playoffs and an underdog because of all the suffering they've been through that you're like, yeah, they earn the right to win. I don't know if ever, anybody else feels that way, but that's how I've always felt about about this team.
The
So.
most kind of funny thing is the player I would love to see most on the Lions is Matthew Stafford. No, like I'm being serious because that dude is one tough SOB, and
Yeah.
I think he's got like a willingness to try and win no matter how bad his team is. I know everything. I think the Goff Stafford trade worked out actually really good for both teams, but like it would have been really interesting to see this Lions team with Stafford at the helm.
That's true. Green Bay, I'm just kidding. Welcome to hell. that's all I'm gonna say for them. Jordan Love is like, he's not bad, but he's not great either. He's no Aaron Rodgers, so
For all those idiots in Green Bay, you were like, "Oh, I don't want Rodgers anymore. Who's too much of a distraction?" This is the alternative.
I
People
mean,
get, I feel like fan bases get spoiled, Patriots with Brady, Green Bay with Aaron, Colts with Peyton. You get spoiled by how much of an advantage it is to have an elite tier quarterback. And people are like, "Oh, he's a huge distraction. He's all this, he's all that." Dude, you cannot replace Aaron Rodgers. It's
well,
just,
they
it's
tried.
a fact to follow.
They tried, and to be fair, Aaron Rodgers isn't playing this season either. So we don't know what happens if he stayed with Green Bay. But
Well, he probably would have been fine because he isn't playing on the plastic field of MetLife.
and that's very true. Vikings, do Vikings trade Kirk Cousins?
No. I
They
don't know
sticking
why.
out for this ride?
I don't know. Like, what's the thought process behind that? Are you just like giving up, and then you also lose Justin Jefferson? Are you going to franchise tag Justin Jefferson for the next 5 years? Like Kirk Cousins, at least. Like, I was originally a Vikings fan, but like, Kirk Cousins isn't a bad player. He's just at times an unfortunate player. When the spotlight's on. The unfortunate thing with Kirk Cousins is when the spotlight's on him, he kind of tends to underperform. But Kirk Cousins is a great, great player. I don't know who you trade him away for, and I don't think they're going to be able to replace a player of his quality anytime soon. Because
Yeah.
they're not going to get Caleb Williams.
No, but I could see them trying to trade to, and I'm not saying it's gonna happen. I'm on your side actually for this. I don't think he'll be traded, but a team that might need him, there isn't, like the Jets. But Aaron Rodgers expressed that he doesn't want somebody that's coming in there to take over a team that might be their team. Pittsburgh Steelers, that team could use him. Not the
Yeah,
best.
but the Steelers are weird with like their quarterbacks, man. We can get to that later, but like I feel like the Steelers are with the Pickett guy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll just move on to the Bears. Last one. Dumpster fire Bears. Justin Fields. We've talked about Urban and I have talked about this earlier season. I don't think he should take all the blame for what's been going on there. Some of the blame, he has missed targets, but I'm not happy with the play calling at all on offense. It's 3rd and 7, and you're down 10 points, and you're in the third quarter, and you're running the ball. Like, I'm just sitting there,
I think they're just surprised that they're only down by 10. They're such a bad team, man. I don't know what to tell you. You can like make all the
no,
excuses for
Chris,
Justin Fields, but
they're terrible.
Justin Fields is just a fancy Taysom Hill. He is not it.
I don't think you. I really believe in Fields, though. I don't think he's the problem. I
Yeah, but
think
I've seen
he's.
him. He's not good at throwing the ball.
You don't think he's that good? I've seen him
If
throw the ball pretty well.
his first option isn't open,
It's over.
it's over.
That's fair. That's a fair assessment. But I still have faith in him. I still have faith that he can improve and get there. The only thing I don't have faith in is our play calling and our defense, our corners. My goodness, if you have wide receivers going against our corners, just take the over. Just take the over every time. If you want free money, take the over versus the Bears for
All
their
I'll
wide
say is
receivers.
there's a lot of people in the world who have faith in things that don't believe don't exist, and
Fair
Justin Fields is one of them.
enough. Eagles, Cowboys, Commanders, and Giants. Eagles, their defense is, I mean, everybody's talking about their offense because their offense hasn't been high powered, so on and so forth, but their defense is just amazing.
Yeah, they're just a solid. I think they're probably gonna go all the way this year. They're gonna be in the picture at the end of the year for sure. They're just a good team. I don't think you need to say anything other than they're a good team. I don't even think they figured out offense yet. I think their offense is still to start clicking. I think once it does, I think the rest of the league's in trouble. Oh, and they just decided to add Julio Jones as a third option at wide receiver. Just for
Hoo-hoo.
yep.
Hoo-hoo Jones. Yeah, I saw that. But yeah, like you talked about, I think their offense hopefully starts clicking soon. But their defense is something else. Cowboys. Like, what do you want to talk about there? I feel like Dak is also missing some targets, kind of like what Justin Fields has been going through, but Dak is a veteran now, and
They're
he's
just
doing his
such an
stuff.
they're just such an unlike if they're not your team, they're just such an unlikable team. Like they just it's like football terrorism. It's just like they're just such a frustrating team to watch because they've got all the talent in the world and they just never look good.
Yeah,
And when it matters, they occasionally look good, but they never look good when it matters.
I just don't understand how their offense doesn't put up more points. Like the like
That's what I'm saying. Like they are frustrating to watch because they should be better than they are, and never.
every year should be better than they are, and they never do. Their defense is amazing still. But like you said, their offense, I just look at it and I go, how are they not putting up more points? So Commanders, I think what's his name's gone, Young on the defense. I think they trade him away to get assets back. Chase Young, and what's there to say? I think they have some, talented players on their team, but they fall into the Falcons realm of just missing the quarterback.
Yeah, Commanders are kind of a tough team to criticize too hard because they've been such a cluster the last few years. They've been a really difficult team just the last few years, and they got new ownership, but like you can't, it just doesn't change overnight. It's going to be a process there. I think they've got the potentially right ownership in place where hopefully in the next few years that division just becomes more and more enjoyable for how competitive it is.
And then the last thing I want to talk about is the Giants. Danny Dimes got that huge contract this offseason. I don't think any of this is his fault. We didn't expect him to be a top-tier quarterback, but I didn't expect him to be this
Giants did.
bad. And pardon?
The Giants did.
I think they paid him this money to just get beat up at this point. Their offensive line is.
I don't think you give like a guy like that much money if you're not thinking he's the answer. And it's, he's a good player. He's an okay player. I don't think he's that good a player for what he got paid. But Giants are another organization that just kind of need to be gutted. And they've been trying to kind of half restart for the last decade, and it's never kind of worked. So we'll see.
I just don't like when they traded for Darren Waller this offseason, and that was supposed to be their top like receiver. You want to talk about not getting separation? That's person that has not been getting separation, like you talked about earlier. Also the route running that they have him doing, it's like, why are you doing that when he's a big sized man? You have him going up for like a streak. Just have him go across the middle. His body is gonna give him enough room to catch the ball.
Yeah. And it's so
So
weird. It's so weird because the coaching last season was like coach of the year, and
yeah.
this year just has fallen off a cliff. Or something. I feel like there's more going on to that situation than we're privy to.
All right, Chris, we gotta start wrapping this one up soon. So we'll go through this pretty quickly. Kansas City, Raiders, Chargers, Broncos, Chiefs, they look
Good.
good. Their offense hasn't been the greatest, but their defense has been better than I would have expected. So they but when
I
you when
think
you
they'll figure it out. They'll be in the picture at the end of the year.
yeah when you have Patrick Mahomes, it's something else. I don't know why every year I like go against him with winning that division. I don't know why I do. I always think this could be a mix-up. I always think the Chargers are gonna come out of nowhere. I'm an idiot. Don't take my advice on this. The ever like when you're picking division winners, you should just stick with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
If as long as Patrick Mahomes there, don't bet against Patrick.
Yeah.
Raiders are second in the division at 3-3. What quarterback do they have for this week?
I
Is
have
Jimmy
no
G
idea.
out? I don't know what's going on there.
Ryan
Chargers,
Holder.
what's going on with the Chargers? Like, what is going on there? You have the most talented offensive defense, not the most, but one of the most talented offensive defense, and you are losing games. And I don't know
The
how.
curse of Phillip Rivers. It's just one of those teams that always looks good, but just ends up not being good. It's the weirdest thing.
Well, if Saleh doesn't make the playoffs, he's gone. He's fired. There's no way you can keep him around after so many seasons of failure. Broncos, 1-5. I
That's
don't blame
right.
Russ. I don't blame Russ.
That's right.
I know, let's ride, but can you blame Russ? I don't
Yes.
think you can here. You
Yeah.
blame Russ. I
Yeah.
think his stats are phenomenal. Like, if your just defense is so bad.
The defense is caught up to the offense. The offense is terrible, man.
You think the offense is terrible?
Russ is one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. He had like the last game I
Okay.
watched him play, he
That
had like
that's fair. I
12
understand what you're saying now.
completed passes.
I think Russ is actually hit when you look at his stats, it's not bad. The problem is the defense can't hold anybody, so you have to throw the ball constantly.
Well, the thing with Russ is like he's not a like I think it's becoming apparent he's like more about the brand than he is about being a football player.
That is true.
I
I
think he
agree with
still
you.
has more bathrooms in his mansion than he has wins.
Probably. Let's ride up to the AFC South. Jacksonville Jaguars, Colts, Texas, Titans. I feel like this division's up for grabs for anybody. I know Titans are still 3 games under Jacksonville, Jaguars, but
I feel like the Titans are about to blow it up. I think they're about to trade Henry.
you think so?
Yeah,
That
I
would
think
not
so.
they're not a bad idea.
They're not even gonna they're not even close to competing,
But why'd
really.
you bring in Hopkins then?
But I think they thought they were going to be better than they were, and Hopkins is on a 1-year deal. They can get rid of Henry. They've got Tejay Spears as a backup. He isn't the same as Henry, but he's
Yeah.
okay. You can
What
get
do
some
you?
draft picks back and just rebuild for next year and hopefully get a better quarterback than Tannehill.
Well, when you have three quarterbacks, you don't. When you think you have three quarterbacks, that means you don't have one because they keep drafting quarterbacks and it doesn't work out. Texans are surprisingly pretty good. CJ, I think, is the answer there. Watch out for him next year. I think give him time. I like what he's doing. I wish Bears had CJ instead of
It'll
Fields.
be really interesting to see how the Texans ruin CJ Stroud.
I'm not gonna lie, that's a fair point. Colts, Richardson's out for the season, Minshew's in. Do they just start running the ball like crazy and hopefully Minshew every now and then could throw because they have two great
I
running
think
backs.
I think Minshew is perfectly capable. It was really weird to me because I called very early on when there was a guy trying to trade me for Anthony Richardson. I was like, dude, he's going to get injured almost immediately, and he did. And then he's like, well, he's back. I was like, he's the way they're playing him is like RG3 all over again. They're not like doing the kid any favors. They need someone to protect that kid from his own enthusiasm,
Fair
because
point.
if not, he is going to get destroyed in this league. He is a very, 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 very good footballer. He needs to be protected better. Like, I'm not just
Exactly.
talking about like offensive line. I'm talking like ownership.
When he's running the ball, when he's throwing, he doesn't go down. Yeah, I agree. Jacksonville Jaguars, probably the head of this division. I don't know what's going on with Trevor Lawrence, but as long as you have Eaton back there, Etienne, just Eaton up yards, just give him the ball at this point. But I feel like after Doug Peterson, after like 2 or 3 years of being somewhere, it always becomes stale. When he went in with his Eagles, 2 or 3 years, it became stale. So we'll see what happens the rest of the season. But I haven't been impressed with Jacksonville. I had higher expectations. So AFC North, Ravens, Steelers, Browns, Bengals, all right
Who
there with a
cares?
tie. What?
I think Bengals are gonna end up getting healthy and good, but that rest of the division is a big old pile of who cares?
You don't think the Ravens are good?
No.
Really? Ravens, I think, are phenomenally good. I love watching them play. I think they're pretty good. Browns have probably the best defense in the league, but they unfortunately their offense for some reason doesn't want to score. But their
Yeah.
defense is so good, it keeps them in games. And that's why they're right there.
Maybe they just massage Deshaun Watson back in slowly.
All right.
Just
Anyhow, Steelers are just getting lucky. Another great defense, but just
yeah,
get really lucky.
I think that's one of those things where I think the offensive coordinator's position is obviously in jeopardy. I think they need to make a change there, but Tomlin's a loyal guy. I don't think it's happening this year.
I don't blame the offensive coordinator. I think it's what he has. I don't think Pickett's the answer. You think the Bengals are going to get better and just run away with this division?
I do think so. I think the last game, there's kind of a last couple of games, there's been indications that Burrow's looking a lot better and a lot healthier. And dude, that kid is the answer. He is so good. And then when you got Chase, Mr. 7-Eleven.
just throwing the ball, right? Just throwing the ball. Hopefully T. Higgins starts going again. I know he didn't do too well last week, but hopefully he gets
They all just need to get healthy, and
yeah.
that's.
That's fair. I still have the Ravens winning that division, but like you said, when you're healthy, you're healthy. Last division, probably the most competitive one, Dolphins, Bills, Jets, Patriots. Dolphins just keep they think, okay, let's just blow everybody out.
Yeah, they got this thing about them though that I think that the Dolphins are beatable, and I think any given week they can win by 50 points, but I think also any given week they can get into trouble pretty quick.
Yeah, I expected the defense to be a little bit better holding teams down, but when your power offense is scoring immediately, it could be a little bit difficult, I guess, to stop teams.
Also need to stay healthy. They've got like a carousel at running back at the minute.
But it's working.
It is working. Few fast athletic players would be an advantage.
I know it's like Mike McDaniel wrote something out that everybody's just so phenomenal with, and I'm just sitting there like, oh wow, fast athletic players in a running back position. Who would have thought? Bills right there up there with the Dolphins as well, one game behind them. I don't know what it is. Like Josh Allen, it's like he's good, but then all of a sudden a game later, it's like what am I watching?
Yeah, I think they've taken a step back this year. And I'm not sure if it's so much on the offensive side as it is on the defensive, but they've de definitely taken a step back this year. I don't think they're going to be in the picture at the end of the year. I think Dolphins come out of this division, but Bills are a good team, great quarterback, but th I don't think this year's it.
That's fair. Jets, obviously Aaron Rodgers went down. Zach Wilson, everybody was like, he's not the answer, but he's been holding his own for the last couple of games.
He's been doing okay, but he's got a really good team around him. So I think Jets will potentially make a wild card spot and maybe go a game in, but outside of that, I'm not sure about this team.
Patriots, Chris, Patriots. Dumpster fire over there. Their quarterback has not looked good at all.
I said, the key to great coaching is great players.
Yeah.
And I think that's just completely evident here.
Stevenson is one of my favorite running backs, and unfortunately, he has not looked good this season either. Their offense has been stagnant. Their defense has been letting up points because they're always on the field.
Just not a good team. It's just literally just not a good team. I think Tom Brady covered a lot of cracks for that team over the years.
Is Bill Belichick gone?
No.
No, he sticks around.
I think he's if he I'll tell you what, if he goes, every single team in the NFL who needs a head coach next year will be trying to get
Oh
him.
yeah, 100%. So that's gonna do it for our first part of the show. All NFL talk. Thank you, Chris, for tuning in again. Check the EPL out afterwards if you're interested in knowing about EPL football or soccer, whoever, how you ever want to call it. It is something new. It's something I'm trying out to get better at and watch it. It's a fascinating sport. So thank you all. Yeah, check out part two. All right. So part two of BS Talk is going to be EPL. EPL is the English Premier League. I started tuning in this year watching English Premier League soccer, or as someone would say, football. Just because it was another sport that has caught on and caught my interest over the years. And it's taken kind of the place of baseball. As you all know, baseball is the World Series is kind of, or soon to be the World Series is going on. But I just don't have as much interest as baseball as I do for, I guess, English Premier League now. So with my bandwidth, it's mainly football, English Premier League, and college football. So, and then when basketball comes around, we'll probably watch basketball. With that being said, I would like to introduce you all to Jaime. Jaime has been on the show before. Jaime has watched the English Premier League probably since you were like a little child, Jaime, I would say.
No, not really. It's only been like maybe 10 years, maybe on and off.
All
But
right.
recently, like the last 5 years, just a huge EPL type of guy now.
All right. And then Chris, well, I know has been watching the Premier League probably from a wee child because he was born in Ireland or Northern Ireland, my bad, Chris, and is a ma big time Manchester United fan. Why, as if you've heard me talk about Man U, I always take pleasure when they lose. I feel like it's a win in my book. But go ahead,
Whoa, whoa,
Chris.
whoa, whoa, whoa. First of all, what's a Premier League? I don't even know what football is. Yes, I'm a big Manchester United fan. I'm really curious as to how Jaime started supporting Newcastle of all teams.
So do you remember that movie Goal from
Oh,
like
Jesus Christ.
the guy's Mexican. I'm also Mexican, so and he went to Newcastle. Newcastle got a lot of Mexican supporters because of that movie.
Yeah, in fairness, Manchester United have never had a Mexican superstar player.
Yeah, no, not Manchester United. No one cares about them.
As you can see, I think Chris, I know you'll hold your own for supporting your Man U. I'll try to defend you, but at the same time, I don't know what it is, but when they lose, it makes me feel good inside. I don't know why. Maybe it's like it when my friends watch the Lakers lose, they like to rub it in on me. So maybe it's the same feeling. I couldn't explain it. But I'll try to defend you if you get teamed up on, Chris.
You don't have to defend me too hard. Manchester United deserves to lose every now and again, mainly because of their rat owners. Here are the Glazers. I really wish they would just go away, but doesn't look like that's happening.
I'd
We
agree
couldn't
on
get a
that one.
little, we couldn't get a whole state-sponsored club like Newcastle.
Can you explain that a little bit, Chris?
Oh, so the state of Saudi Arabia owns Newcastle,
Okay.
and the state of Qatar was in to buy Manchester United, but then the dirty rat Glazers, who are the owners of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, decided that they wanted to stay in charge for some unknown reason, and are accepting a bid from a guy called Sir Jim Ratcliffe for 25% of the business while they stay in charge because they are rat owners.
Okay, interesting words choice, I guess you might say there.
This is like the very scaled down version of my opinions of the Glazers. I wish nothing but toe-stubbing at the middle of the night for them for the rest of their lives.
Anyhow, so let's get to the fixtures. On top, we have Liverpool, Tottenham Spurs, Arsenal, Manchester United, and correct me if I pronounce any of these wrong. We're going to do the top five in Aston
Sure.
Villa.
Aston
Aston Villa.
Villa. You already pronounced Tottenham wrong, by the way, so
Yes, thank
I
you.
was
I
going to
always
let
say
that slide,
Tottenham.
but
It's Tottenham, my bad. I am working on that. I am a huge Spurs supporter. And then all of a sudden it
it's
became
so
really
big
good.
that you can't pronounce their
I know. I always say
name.
Tottenham. I don't know why. Is that like, I think I might be an American thing because I've heard a lot of Americans say that same thing, but it's Tottenham. So you are correct there. Again, I'm learning this sport. Jaime knows that I chose the Spurs at the, before they even played the first game. He was making fun of me because they just lost Harry Kane, but man, they have looked phenomenal. They look like they're playing as a team now. Then I guess before when I've talked to other Tottenham Spurs fans, that's only one other person that I work with. But he's been happy. He's so happy I jumped on board because he thinks I'm the lucky charm. I say, no, I'm the lucky charm until they get to, some kind of playoff form and then they lose and then you're gonna be upset with me.
Well, there's no playoffs in
No
EPL,
problems.
so you're good there.
Well, you know what I mean, like where they get some the cup,
No.
but they play for the cup. Is it so they don't play for
Oh
the cup?
yeah. There's like a, I feel like there's like a million things going on at the same time over there. Because you got the regular EPA, EPL, and then you got like the FA Cup, the Carabao Cup, and then if they're in European soccer too, they could be in Champions League or what's the other one?
Europa League or
Europa League or the
Conference
Conference
League.
League. So there's a lot of tournaments going on at the same time out there.
Is that why there's so many breaks in between the EPL season?
No, their breaks are for international games. So like every year teams play either international friendlies or international qualifiers for the respective kind
Countries.
of like collaboration. So like there's the Europa, there's the Europe UEFA League, and then there's the World Cup, and then there's like the CONCACAF. So like each player will go away for their team to qualify for those.
Gotcha. I'm assuming who has joined us just now is AJ. The name came in as Shrek, but it is AJ. AJ is from the UK and is a huge Everton fan, which we are kind
Oh no. Wait, how do I
of
leave this call?
bottom
Oh,
right, bud.
you
We just got to
poor guy.
here, but Chris kind of knows why. I mean, we all kind of laughed at him there just because Everton's had a rough season, but AJ's a true supporter and sticks with his team, so we got to respect him for that. But we were just explaining kind of how each why there's breaks in EPL, but why there's so many different kind of, I guess, leagues and cups, which is interesting. Why don't they do a playoff system over there? Is it just like who's at the
So like
top?
the lower leagues do a playoff system. So like the Championship, League One and League Two will all qualify their top two teams to get promoted into the above league, and then the next four teams go into a playoff to get that final spot. But the Premier League, there's no play, like if you win, you win. There's no like playoffs to like get into Europe. So like the
Gotcha.
top four next season, the top five get into like the Champions League automatically. You're not playing for that. Your success is based off your record. We
When
don't.
they what's it called? The bottom four teams in the EPL, when they oh my goodness, I'm drawing a blank on the words. Help me out here,
Relegated.
Pete. Relegated, thank you.
It's three teams. It's relegated. Yeah.
When they get relegated, do they play each other to see who gets relegated, or is it just bottom four no matter what?
Bottom three teams
Bottom
get
three.
relegated.
Oh, bottom three. So bottom three get relegated no matter what. And the only way they can get back in is if they win that bottom tier thing where you just talked about the whole playoffs, correct? That's weird that they don't play each other to try to play for the bottom three spots.
Well, they're already in the bottom three. AJ could probably speak more on this since his team is going through
Yeah, I mean, the difference, first of all, thanks for having me.
that.
I appreciate being on after a terrible morning of refereeing. But I
Don't
suppose
blame
I'll leave that.
the
Hey, Everton
refs.
deserved to lose anyway, right? So I'm very, even though I'm a hardcore Everton fan, I'm very realistic and I'm very normal, I like to think. So Liverpool deserved to win the game, but Everton deserved to go down to 10 men, but so did Liverpool. But it was always going to be a Liverpool win. So I think the 10 men that stayed on the pitch have a lot to help hold their head high on. They played pretty well. They defended pretty well. It was just a matter of time until they scored. And what a surprise. It's another Anfield VAR review that changed the whole game. Again, me being me, I think it was a penalty because the ball's being stopped into the box. I don't think proximity-wise, Keane's close enough to the ball that's coming in, but I could have probably argued this for and against for a long, long time. But in regards to relegation, because I'll be talking about it in about 6 months anyway, it's with football or soccer, whichever way you want to describe it in this call. With the season being so long, over 38 games, you have a lot of time to back out of this relegation decision that you're making in a squad and your team. So it's if the three go down, it's usually the right three. You could argue last year some of the players from Leicester City and some of the great trophies they've and success they've had in the last 5 to 6 years, some of their players didn't step up. And if you don't step up, they slide into a relegation fight. And all of a sudden, if you're sitting 10th, 11th, 12th in the league and you're getting points here and there, that's one mentality. But if all of a sudden you're 16th, 17th, 18th, you approach the game completely different. And then you get sucked into that relegation scrap, and then you're in the media the whole time, and all of a sudden you go down. So usually the three at the bottom, they're usually the right three, and it could be this year that the three that came up go right back down, which is really exciting. But usually the three that come up, that isn't always the case. Isn't that right, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes teams come up and just end up playing like an absolute blinder. Like Brentford a couple of years ago came up and everyone was expecting them to go down. They've been a really solid mid-table team. Brighton came up. I think everyone thought they were going to go down. They're not perennial Europe place team. So yeah, it really kind of keeps you on your toes, and it kind of goes back to this old trope that doesn't really exist in American sports of consequences for being mediocre.
For
Or
tanking.
consequences for being bad. Whereas in American sports, you get rewarded for being bad. Like the Spurs had one of their all-time worst seasons, and they get rewarded with like an alien. If Everton have a bad season, they go down. That could potentially send that club in a, like, teams have gone down that have been in the Premier League for years. They don't get relegated to the next league after that season because the money isn't there from the Premier League.
Yeah.
You know, get parachute payments, but like the money isn't the same. And you know, if they don't make the right investments, they can go down again and again. And then you catch yourself in a place like Portsmouth, who I think are in League Two, or Blackburn, who went all the way back down. You know, these teams go from the Premier League to like the third, fourth division of football.
So basically, it comes down to like scouting, it sounds like scouting players and trying to get players to go there that are not going to be too expensive when you're in the lower leagues. That way, when they do come up, because most likely when they come up, if they're free agents, they'll go sign with the better teams. But also, you can use them, I guess, as transfer bait in a way.
The team that does the best in this in recent years is Brighton. They've done an absolutely astonishing job of, you know, recruiting, you know, players with high potential, getting them to that potential, and then selling them for astronomical fees, and then replacing them with players who are just as capable, and they're still competitive. You know, that's the, you know, for the teams outside of the top four, that's kind of, you know, the blueprint for success and English Premier League football.
Yeah, you know who did very well at the beginning was because Leicester came up from, championship, came up, didn't expect much that first season. Second season, they just went on a rampage and ended up winning the EPL. Had a successful model, and then the last 2 years, I think they just kind of stepped away from what they had shown to be a good model, and then ended up just getting relegated again. Even though they won EPL, they won couple of other trophies, Community Shield, FA Cup. I mean, they had a successful run of years there, and then now they're back in the championship.
Oh, it's
Yeah,
like, Les is a great conversation. Sorry, Chris, a great conversation because, and Chris, you can kind of help me out here. A few years ago, they had their main owner pass away in a helicopter accident, and he was the heart and soul of that club. And it just shows that if you look at like Man United right now, having someone that's passionate, caring, gives that infection into a club, that trickles all the way down the players. So I think with Leicester, when that accident happened, and I remember watching the talk show or whatever after post game, I watched that Leicester game and then all the media afterwards, and that kind of then started this rocky slide of not really knowing the players and not really being attached to the club. And then I think his son took over, I can't remember,
Yeah, I sent
of
it
the
over.
board. There you go. So it's kind of like a different feel, and as you mentioned, all of a sudden players aren't really focused completely because obviously outside world things affect, and now they're in the championship instead of Everton.
So
I think of what a
my
lot of people forget about that Leicester team too is the year before they won the Premier League, they were like one game away from getting relegated. Like they were bottom of the table at Christmas, could and probably should have been relegated that year before. So that is one of the true miracles of all time in football.
My
But yeah.
question, I guess it's in a way where how does like, so if you're like a top tier team though, and you have good ownership that's investing money into players, you're pretty much never going to get relegated then.
Correct.
So how does it fare for teams that when they do come up and they make the Premier League with the same players that, they were down in the division before, they come up, they're hoping basically for miracles, it sounds like, because they don't have the finances quite yet because this is the first year in the Premier League, or like the Premier League. And then also their players are usually not as good as, Man City. So how does that work? Like there, it sounds like no matter what, if you come up, it sounds like you're going to get relegated no matter what, just
Well, I
because
think
you don't have the
also
finances.
if you look at that Leicester team, that first season they were up, they didn't do too well. But you sign players you think that are going to help out the team, and you play as a collective unit. Because if you look at that EPL team that won, Leicester that won that year, like half of them got sold to better teams, quotes unquote, right? They got sold to Man City, Manchester United. They got sold to these like top four clubs. And then you kind of get lucky there also, I would say, maybe like getting a player, scouting him out, and then he becomes into this really good player that you're able to sell. And like the team that has that model right now, I would say, is Brighton. Brighton over the past couple seasons has proven to just produce players, and they're able to sell them and then replace them with kind of similar players, but not as recognized at the moment.
But
Yeah,
Cameron, if
and
you're
don't.
asking,
Oh,
if you're
sorry, go
asking like how is it fair, the answer is it's not. I mean, it is
ahead.
what it is. I mean, we're supposed to have this thing called financial fair play, which means that teams cannot spend more than they make or some percentage of that in a season. But you know, Man City have proven with like 150 odd charges against them that there's no real, just like really rich people in America, there's no real consequences for teams with like unlimited funds.
Yeah, and because that's what
Yeah.
I'm just. Go
Oh,
ahead,
sorry,
AJ.
boss.
Go
All I
ahead,
was going to
AJ.
say is, on top of like, you talk of like the relegation, any team that comes up from the championship, they have one goal, and it's not to compete with Man City to win the league, right? Or Liverpool or Arsenal or whomever's going to be up there. Their goal, all they care about is coming 17th. That's the gig. And then let's say they come 17th. So let's say Leicester come back up. As we've been talking about Leicester. Leicester come back up and they're 17th next season in the Premier League. Great. Then the next goal is 16th, 15th. And then the next goal can we be like 10, 11, 12? And can we be 10, 11, 12 for 2, 3 years? And as Chris was mentioning, kind of like swarm in some better players, some maybe up and coming youngsters in their academy, whatever it might be. So in terms of it being fair or not fair, you could argue Man City and all the bigger teams up there, I'm going to put an asterisk here. You know, they've been doing it for a long time and they've waited to get that good, to be at the top of the end of the league. It's not just they come in one team. And that's, as Simon was saying earlier, that's why the Leicester story of them winning the league was just so wild. That didn't happen ever. And there goes my 5,000-to-1 bet that I took off.
So it's a lot of kind of like skill from managing the team, skill from scouting the team, owner being, investing money into the team when they have it, but also sometimes it sounds like 25 to 50% of it is just based on luck. You have to get lucky in this.
I think for the lower teams it is, but like the bigger, like probably top 8, top 10 teams,
Yeah.
a lot of it's not so much investment in players as it is investment in infrastructure surrounding the team, like having a proper director of football, making the right decisions in scouting, having proper training facilities so your players are, you know, at their peak things, all things that Manchester United doesn't do.
Do these teams when they sorry, Chris. I try to
Not
keep it
sure. I'm not sure if
together
you're. This is a bad week to catch me because I just found out that we're getting bought by another rat. So like, it's a rough Well,
week to be a Manchester United fan. We're going to play the worst team in the league today, so no doubt we're going to lose 3-0.
Chris, just remind me. I'm going to skew this little breaking news. I don't know if you've seen this yet. It's like 7 minutes ago when I was logging on because you're a United fan, right?
Yep.
So they just announced that Bobby Charlton passed away today.
Oh, no shit, really?
They just announced that. So there might be a little segment to if you want to talk about how vital he was to England and Manchester United and what this could mean for their upcoming season and all the troubles they're currently having. Because obviously with their game later on, they may or may not have time to have a minute silence. But this is breaking news off the press like 6, 7 minutes ago. It was announced
Yeah,
on BBC.
I knew that he wasn't doing well. That is actually a complete travesty. Bobby Charlton's one of England's all-time greatest players, if not their greatest player. One of Manchester United's greatest players, if not their greatest player of all time. Like, even though I never got to watch him play live, like, you know, you watch the clips, you watch the old games, the Champions teams. He was a Busby Babe, one of survivors of the Munich air disaster. Absolute legend of the game. That's just terribly sad, and it's, you know, just adds to another a sad season for Manchester United. Sir Alex Ferguson's wife died a couple weeks ago, and when it rains, it pours. But you know, Sir Bobby Charlton, definitely one of the all-time greats in football, one of a pioneers of the sport. Chris, could you put that into terms for those who are new to EPL or just listening to this for the first time? If you were to compare him to an NBA, because I feel like most of our fans are NBA player, like watch the NBA. If you could compare that player to an NBA player, what would you compare them to?
Yeah, that's a it's a tomatoes and tomatoes thing.
Yeah,
It's
that's
easy. He was just like he was one of a kind, tough as nails, survived everything. Came through two huge rebuilds at Manchester United. Just an all-time great. I don't think it's fair to compare him to anyone in sport. I think he was a player by himself. Like we talk about all-time greats in an NBA. Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kobe, LeBron. He's definitely in that tier of probably top 10 players of all time.
Cool.
And
Thanks.
he also was on the team that won the World Cup for England back in 1966. There you go.
Oh, well, they haven't seen the World Cup since, have they?
We've seen
it's not coming home.
England have seen many World Cups, unlike the American team. We've seen many World Cups. We just haven't won one.
I
We've been
feel
on a
like
lot of them.
none of us four should be talking about World Cups trophies at all.
What
It's
are you
funny that I
talking
brought four people in here that was like haven't been nearly close.
about? Wait, I mean, wait, it's on. Wait. Northern Ireland made it to the 1982, 1986. Northern Ireland made it to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. So
Wait,
that's
I
impressive.
thought that if you win the World Series, aren't you a World Cup champion? If you win the World Series in America, isn't that No.
the, or like if you win the Super Bowl, you're a World Cup champion?
No, 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 no,
Buffalo's near Canada.
no. Thank you, Chris, for doing
Super
your
sad
best.
about Bobby Charlton, true legend of the game.
If you need to go, Chris, we completely understand. But I
Okay,
mean,
he's
I
a
mean,
he was an old guy. He's not.
oh, okay. Well, I mean, like Kobe's death affected me in a little bit different way, so that was
Yeah.
interesting. But anyhow, let's go back to not teams that will be relegated, but teams that are on top. We mentioned earlier Liverpool, Tottenham, said it correctly this time. Arsenal, Man City, and Aston Villa. Still pronounce it wrong.
Aston
Aston.
Villa. Aston Villa.
Aston Villa. All right. I
Aston
think
Villa.
Brighton might be up there, although they are down right now 2-0 to Man City. But out of those teams, like who have you seen that is like probably would you say is the best if you've watched any of them at all?
That's Man City. It's not even a
Is
conversation. But
it Manchester City just based on that player in the middle that I have never seen in any other sport in this world? Like I've seen LeBron play, I've seen other, but there's a clear difference in skill level, like and size and everything. And I've never seen a player like you have professional players and then you have this guy, which is crazy.
It's the same in football. You can have Patrick Mahomes, you can have Tom Brady, but like you need a team around it. And it's Man City's levels of depth and infrastructure and coaching, as much as it literally kills me to say, it's just on a completely different level, not only in England, to pretty much the rest of the world. They're so deep that they can lose Kevin De Bruyne, Rodri, probably Haaland, and still probably very comfortably compete to win the league. If Manchester United lose three players of that ilk, they don't come close. If Arsenal do the same, don't come close. It's their depth and position is completely ridiculous.
Yeah, I
Yeah, and
think
that's a good
the
point because, oh, sorry, my man, go for it.
I was gonna say, I was like, I think the only two teams that really are gonna be competing at the end of the season are probably gonna be Man City and Arsenal.
I
Realistically,
don't think
I feel
so.
like because Liverpool, I mean Newcastle, everyone else, don't really have like the depth for a long season. Like Newcastle is up there trying to fight for, you know, top four, but they're in Europe too. They don't have, I don't think, the depth to keep both to compete in both leagues. Liverpool is just one injury away from like falling apart. Tottenham, I don't even think they're gonna be up there that much longer. But it would be great though if they win the league without Harry Kane. That'd be freaking epic.
Yeah, I mean, you say that, but like Arsenal are a great team. Their first 11 is a great team. I don't think they've got any depth. They lose Saka. Who's replacing him?
Yeah, I
Trent
mean that's
are.
why I was like Man City. Oh, it's like last year. I think last year, right, where they had a bit of a struggle, and they were just way well. They were in second place, I think, most of the season, and then, like you said, that Arsenal depth. didn't come through at the very end, and that's where they lost it. But
I don't think there was anyone in England for 1 second who actually thought Arsenal was going to win the league last year.
no, I don't think so
Even when they
either.
were like 10 points clear, I was positive that they would bottle it like they normally do.
I guess.
They're just a team with like no depth, and you know they're getting better for sure, and they made some interesting additions this year. I think Declan Rice is a top player, but I don't think they've got the same depth that Man City. I mean, Man City's currently running without probably the best player in the Premier League at the minute, and I know they lost their last couple of games, but generally, I don't see much of a difference in either playing.
AJ, I
Yeah,
know
that's a
you
really
just.
good point. Yeah, well, all I was going to say is, so it's a lot of people talk about depth and having a great squad and having these great players that can come on. But the one thing that makes City special that Chris has attained to here is that when we talk about depth, we're saying like 8, 9, 10 star players, almost a B team that's just as good if they when they were play in training, they're probably just as good. So then the question is, it's all great to have 10 superstars not playing, but how do you keep them happy and at the club? And that's where Pep Guardiola comes into being one of the best managers of all time. You know, to talk back to Man United, one of the best things about Sir Alex Ferguson was he knew his players and he knew how to like rotate strikers on and off. We talk about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Teddy Sheringham, that would come off the bench and they'd score and they're still happy. They were still ready to be on the pitch and play. That's what Pep Guardiola does. He can sit out if he wanted to. He could sit out. I think today I saw Diaz and Ake, through the central defenders on the bench, and they were smiled, they were happy, they were rested, and they still look amazing at the back. So it's about keeping that depth happy and rotating well enough and understanding I'm going to play 35 games this season because we're going to play 50 anyway, and understanding you're a part of, you're a small cog in a big team. And that's where like Pep doesn't really, most of the time, Pep Guardiola, the manager of Man City, he doesn't really buy players that have this huge ego about it's me, I'm bigger than everybody else. He buys players who are really, really strong and high quality players that understand it's a the team game that you might shine in. So all credit goes to Pep and the team that he's created. And the culture that he's created, because that's an increasingly difficult thing to do in this day and age, because there's like young players like Jadon Sancho, who's making like £350,000 a week, who you're not buying these players, you're buying like their brand. And when they're not playing, their agents get into their ear saying you need to play more. And then it's a completely, you know, not saying that didn't happen in the past, but it's a completely different business now. You're investing so much money into these players where they think they're entitled to play and then they're not. It's, you know, for Pep to have built that culture over the last decade or however many years he's been in charge is really impressive.
So my question also, I guess I've been wondering this whole time is, do teams see that they don't have the depth, and do they ever say, hey, let's not play in the Champions League then, or these other cups, and let's say, let's just focus on the EPL or anything like that? Do they just like sack other leagues because for the sake of the one
Well,
that they think they can win?
not so much the Champions League until they know that they're out of the group stages, but for sure the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup are two candidates for like, you know, I haven't noticed it, but like teams that are kind of in that bottom tier, like the probably bottom five, six teams, they will definitely put out a weakened side because if they're going up against Man City in the FA Cup, they know they're not going to win anyway. So why even risk like an injury to players that they need to get to like, you know, the most important for the most. For 16 teams in the Premier League, the most important thing is to stay in the Premier League. And that is more important than a cup run the majority of the time.
Gotcha. I was just wondering, one of the top teams. So, like you mentioned earlier, that some of you mentioned, like Tottenham Spurs don't have the depth as like Man City does. Would Tottenham then go, you know what? Let's just focus on EPL. Let's just not play in this other cup, knowing that we don't have the depth and we don't want to get our good players injured. They can win that cup. Let's go to try to win this English Premier League Cup, and maybe next year we'll try for all the cups or something. If you don't know the answer, it's okay to say I don't know.
I know the answer. They're gonna try and win everything that they're in because they haven't won a trophy in like my lifetime. So like, Spurs are a bad example because they haven't won a trophy in a long, long time. And to them, finishing 12th and winning the FA Cup would probably be a pretty good season for them.
Gotcha. So what about like other teams that have won trophies in the past? Do they just go, you know, let's sack it up and on that other one, this the EPL is more important, or is there other
It
cups that are more
used to
important?
happen a lot more back in the day. Manchester United were one season. Manchester United decided to not even like compete in the FA Cup because they were going to the Club World Championships because they won the Champions League the year before. So, I definitely think, back in the days of Liverpool, Chelsea, Man United, Arsenal, definitely did not care about the League Cup. I think even though we won the League Cup last year, I don't think anyone actually cares that we won the League Cup. So like the League Cup is more of the candidate, probably the Conference League is more a candidate for, putting out weakened sides. But I think the FA Cup still got enough prestige in it where the majority of teams try. Champions League, you want to be in that showing your best there. So.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for explaining that, because being new to this, I guess not sport, but new to this English Premier League, trying to learn it, trying to wrap my head around it, seeing that, they take off certain weeks randomly just because it's one of those where it's not like American sports entirely. It's completely different, and not completely different, but different in a way how they run their schedules, how they run their like relegation, so on and so forth. But yeah, so Chris, I just want to ask you, kind of, since you're here, you're a huge Man U fan. We had Chris, or we had AJ, talk about Everton. Do you want to talk about Man U at all, and the issues maybe they're having or stuff like that?
Wait, real quick, guys. Unfortunately, I have to snip out here of our little meeting. I hope Manchester United can turn it around because I do have them on my fantasy EPL team. Everton, stay out of relegation, but it's always great seeing them on the last day. Yeah. And
Thank
go
you,
Spurs, I
Jaime.
guess. I don't know.
Thanks, Tyler.
Yeah,
Bye.
thank you,
Later,
Jaime.
guys.
Back to the original question, Chris, if you don't mind answering there.
That's fine. I just want to say for the record, I really do hope that Newcastle do get relegated.
Was that a Newcastle jersey he was wearing?
Yes, he was.
Really? Why was he wearing a Newcastle jersey? I didn't hear
Oh,
a single
it's
accent
like
from
it's the most ridiculous answer of all time. But you remember that stupid movie Goal?
it. Oh, yeah. Goal and goal too. Yeah.
He's like,
Yeah, a
well,
long time
the guy
ago.
was Mexican, I'm big, fan of, got me into soccer. I was like, yeah, like Manchester United never had like a Mexican superstar play for them.
Yeah, the biggest of all time, you could argue. Chicharito, what a
Anyway,
player he was.
no,
Sorry, go on.
he was a fun player.
Yeah.
Yeah, current state of Manchester United. I mean, what?
Defend himself. That's the problem. I have no like, I'm very new, so I can't even defend him
Okay,
while he's gone. This sucks.
I'll really quickly speak to the positives. I'm very excited about, I think he's had a tough start. I still think Ten Hag is the right person to lead the team. I think he's made some good cultural changes. I think he's taking no shit from players who kind of throw hissy fits. As big as Ronaldo to Jadon Sancho, I think he's getting a control over the team that takes time to build, and I hope they give him the time. To install a culture that is hardworking and is working, in a positive direction in terms of how we play. On the negative side, I'm not sure if I mentioned this earlier, but owners, they own the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and they're complete rats. They're literally they bought the club with debt, have taken dividends every year, have invested so poorly into the team, and people say, "Oh, United has spent so much money on players." Cameron, if you go into the store and pay $20 for a Milky Way, it's still a Milky Way. It's not their fault that you're a moron who pays 20. People are saying, "Oh, Anthony costs 100 million euros." Yeah, no one asked them to pay that outside of Ajax. And if they had bought him earlier in the summer, he would have been 45 million. So it's just like the culture at Manchester United is rotten to the core. The infrastructure is falling apart. The stadium is leaking. The stadium is in awful condition. They have literally destroyed what was a legacy club. Awful owners. They had an opportunity to sell it all to a guy who's pretending to be an individual from the Qatari state. I'm not saying I wanted that, but what they've ended up doing is selling a portion of the club to a guy called Sir Jim Ratcliffe, who. The fact that he's allowing the Glazers to stay in control just kind of speaks volumes. Overall, I think the most apt phrase is complete shit show.
Gotcha. All right. Well, Chris, thank you for
Ever
that.
done it?
We don't have enough time to cover go in depth about Everton. We sub AJ did a little bit earlier about the game. We'll do that next time. I'm glad to do this. As I keep on learning more of the EPL. I want to have you all on again, hopefully either next week or the week after, for 40 minutes at a time, just to talk about what's going on, because you all update me. You all have more experience in watching this than I do. I'm just a new fan that's enjoying it. I love the intensity. When the Spurs came back from down 2-0 within 10 minutes a couple weeks ago, AJ was texting me, and it was just bonkers. It's nothing I've ever experienced in any sport. We should all do this again. But I just want to thank you both for your time as we wrap this up. Chris, thank you for your time. AJ, thank you for your time. Hope to have you on again. So, you want to say any kind words before we leave?
Thanks for having us.
Cheers.
Nice work.